So, gentlemen, it's your turn. So, ladies,
we are free.
Open your ears. No, you're not free. You notice they didn't say anything. I asked them to keep quiet and listen to you. Okay? So they have heard you. So now it's their turn. So you listen to them. So you hear the kind of person the guys are aspiring for. All right, gentlemen. We need to know what to look for, right? Yeah? Okay. Leviticus 21, 13 to 14.
And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or one divorced, or a woman who has been defiled, or an harlot. This he shall not marry.
Okay.
For he shall take a wife to him. He shall take to wife a virgin of his own baby. To verse 14.
To verse 14. Okay. Dude 15. Read up to 15.
That he may not profane his children among his people. For I am the Lord who sanctified.
Okay, let somebody read it in another translation. 13 to 15.
And he shall take a wife.
That's an NKJV also. For RS, okay.
And he shall take a wife in a virginity, a widow or a divorced woman, or profane or an adult. This shall he not take, but he shall take the virgin of his own people.
Okay. 15.
Neither shall he be seen among his people, for I, the Lord, will see this morning.
Okay. God was talking. This directive was given to who? Priests, right? And the Bible says we are royal priests, right?
Yes.
So don't feel, oh, this one doesn't pertain to me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a priest. So. Why did God give this instruction, verse 15? So that he does not corrupt his bloodline among his people. For I am Yahweh who sets him apart. We are a peculiar people, right? That's a question that somebody asked. When people see your marriage, how different is it from the marriage of all the other people? Can people just by seeing the way you relate with your wife say, these people must be Christians? You know, when the big guys in the Sanhedrin in Acts saw the disciples and their boldness and say, okay, they noticed, they realized that these men have been with Jesus. Yeah. Does it reflect? Okay. So, we shouldn't take this as a casual thing. God is serious about it. He says, so that he does not corrupt his bloodline among his people. For I am Yahweh who sets him apart. Alright? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. A capable wife is the way this old man puts it. A capable wife is her husband's crown. But a wife who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Who doesn't want to marry a capable wife? Is there anybody here? You? You don't want to marry a virtuous woman?
No.
You want to, right? Okay. What about you? You do. And you? And you? Okay. You want a wife who brings you shame?
No.
You don't want? You want, let's see, what's an example of bringing shame? You are fighting, right? No, my landlord lives next to me in the next compound. And we are good friends. So one of the times I visited him, and we were praying, and it was his turn to pray. And he was thanking God that my wife and I don't quarrel. Yeah, of course, if we quarrel, they will hear. Yes.
They will
be disturbed. Your neighbors will be disturbed. I was really touched by that. You know, because it never occurred to me.
To thank God for that.
Yes.
Because you made it a lifestyle.
Yes. You know, I was really touched by that. So people are watching. He was thanking God for that. So yeah, so quarreling, whether at home or in public, brings shame. Proverbs 19:14. Where's your Bible? Open your Bible now. Read Proverbs 19:14 for us. Is your Bible with you? Yeah, okay. Proverbs 31:10.
Proverbs
19:14.
Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but the prudent wife is from the Lord.
Okay. What wife is it? Prudent wife. Do you know what a prudent wife is? Do you know the word prudent? The meaning of the word prudent?
Accountable.
Yes. What else?
Capable.
Self-control. You know, prudent. So
discipline.
Yes. Who doesn't like a disciplined woman?
Can manage
the home with his money. She won't be tempted to go do all the ashebis that come around. Yeah. My wife doesn't do a shaggy. I know, she doesn't. So that's why each time, every year, she has some savings from her housekeep money. Every year. She's a very prudent woman. Okay, so a prudent woman. Proverbs 31:10.
The wife of noble character, good and fine, she is both humble and
noble. What does noble character look like? How would you describe noble character? Somebody that says has a noble character. Sorry?
Someone
that
is composed.
Composed, okay. Yes. So, well behaved, yes. Composed,
well,
yes.
Cultured.
Well cultured, respectful, sorry?
Virtuous,
prudent. So, the noble just encompasses all those nice qualities, eh? Yeah. And he says she is far more precious than jewels, than rubies. What does that say to us? That it's better to have a noble character than to have a fashionista, right? Yeah, but many of us men, you know, we like our eyes get engaged first before our minds. Yes, that's our big downfall. Yeah, when we are thinking of somebody to marry, we are thinking of somebody we can be proud
of,
to be seen
with.
Yes, to be seen with. That's our big problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah.
But physical look and transcendence is
good. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying it's a problem. And that's why you see God is pointing us, you and I, is pointing us to a proper direction. Right? That a noble character is far better than a fashionista. Talks about pearls among swines. Says the pretty lady without self-control is like putting a gold ring in the nose of a pig. Where will it end up?
In the mind.
Yes. So God is pointing, yes, it's true, I agree with you. our eyes get engaged before our minds. So we need to be careful about that. There's nothing wrong in liking a pretty girl, but God says, when it comes to looking for a wife, look beyond the pretty, okay? Well, however you want to define pretty. God is giving us a definition of pretty that you and I should be looking at when we go looking for a wife, okay? Yeah, many men struggle. There's a young man that I have been talking with. That has been his big challenge. Yeah, there's a girl he wants to marry. He likes her, good character and everything, but she's not that pretty, he says to me. Yeah. But anyway, he's still hanging in there, Sha. He hasn't broken up with her yet. So I'm praying he doesn't. So yeah, so it's something that us men need to be aware of. 1 Samuel 25, verse 3.
Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of the wife was Abigail. The man was a good understanding and beautiful. But the man was foolish and idle. He was a Talabite.
Okay, that's verse 3, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what did they say about Abigail? She was intelligent and beautiful, okay?
Understand.
Yes. Verse 14.
But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, behold, let me send a singer out of the wilderness to salute our master and reign at them.
Go.
Okay. Yet, the men were very good for us and we suffered no harm. And we did not miss anything when we were in the field. As long as we went to them, they were all worth us, both by night by day.
Okay, go on. Where have you reached? You're right, 16.
All
right?
The way we are with them keeping the sheep.
Okay,
17.
Okay, somebody should read from 17 to 20.
No,
let someone else read. Yes.
17
to 20.
Now therefore, mourn this and consider that what you should do. For evil is determined against us and against all his house. And it is so human nature that one cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and washed it very dressed, 5 measures of parched grain and 100 fox jars of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on the passes. And she said to her young men, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Verse 20. And as she rode on the ass and came down under cover of the mountain, the young David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David has said, surely in vain have I guarded.
Okay, now skip that. Go from verse 23.
When Abigail saw David, she made haste and alighted from the horse and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. He fell at his feet and said, behold, and said, upon thee alone, my Lord, be thy gift. Pray that your handmaid speak in your ears, and hear the words of your handmaid. Let not my Lord regard this ill-natured fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name, and fully he is with him. Rayo and men did not see the young men of my Lord, whom you sent. Now, then, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, seeing the Lord has restrained you from brokenness and from taking vengeance with your own hands, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as never. Verse 27. And now let this present, which your servant has brought to you, my Lord, be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Pray, forgive the trespasses of your handmaid, for the Lord will certainly take my Lord as a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and the evil shall not be found in you so long, as you live.
Okay. What do we see? What qualities do we see Abigail displaying here? Gentlemen, that you like? Wisdom, okay? What else? Understanding. What else?
Protecting his home.
She was protecting her home. What else? She was humble, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bow down to the ground. Remember, she's the wife of a wealthy man.
Yes.
Yeah, wife of a multimillionaire.
Sincerity.
Bow down and beg.
You did not try to cover up the.
Make excuses.
Her husband and
evil.
Yeah. It was so sincere.
Confessed, she apologized. Wouldn't you like to have such a wife?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, to note that down, we have in Leviticus, what did we see? What quality did we see?
Leviticus.
Yes. What quality did we see in Leviticus? Virgin, what else? Virgin plus this somebody from your own people. What does that mean? I've heard of Christians marrying non-Christians. Yes, it's happening more and more now. More and more.
Actually, she should be a Christian.
Yes. So if you're not a Christian, you won't know if she is. Yeah, because you may just be because the two of you come to church. If you're not a Christian, you won't know, in your conversations, you won't know whether she's a Christian or not. Abi? Yeah. You may just think, oh, I see her in church. Oh, she sings in
choir.
Yeah. Oh, she's an usher.
That one is too common.
Yes.
And Sam, what I'm being a Christian, she should be someone you can be proud of. Someone you can be proud
of. Christian.
What else is better than Christian?
Okay, yeah.
What else is better than Christian?
What else is Christian
sir?
Okay. Because for you to call someone a Christian,
yeah.
You have to
pick
someone else.
That's what it means to be a Christian. We didn't say churchgoer.
Say Christian.
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 Christian in the right sense of the word.
A born again Christian.
Yes. Not
because your name is Christian.
Nowadays you need to use the word
but just
you
are Christian. Or Christian.
Let's agree. Christian is Christian. Forget that it has been adulterated or bastardized. When we say Christian, you and I should know what we mean. Okay?
Sir, that we, I want to ask a question. Okay, there are some people that are living uprightly.
Yes.
They have that moral quality.
Yes.
Yet they are not that Christian.
Yes.
Then a Christian.
Yes.
So how will you?
That's why I said it takes a Christian to know a Christian, because they are very upright Muslims.
Really?
They are very upright Buddhists.
Yes.
They are very upright.
Yes, they don't even know God, but
God is very clear when he says in Leviticus, among your own people,
in your church,
if possible, in your church. if possible, in your church, but provided the person is a Christian, let's not worry about denomination. But if you find the person in your church, by all means, go ahead. Yes, it makes it easier. Yes, you. Yes. It makes it easier for accountability. Okay?
Yeah, because you
yes. Yes. Because you can go and ask your pastor, I'm interested in that girl. What do you know? What do you think about her? He can do investigation for you to help you, okay? But this is somebody from somewhere else, like you don't know anybody who knows to go and ask. Yeah. Okay, so let's not forget that. Yes, thank you for that observation. There are very nice, morally upright people out there. Let's not
well, without serious. Christ.
Because without Christ,
try.
One day, push will start to shove, and suddenly you realize that that moral goodness alone cannot take you the whole distance. Alright? Okay, what other quality did we see in Proverbs 12:4? I hope we are noting them down in that space.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what other quality? Did we see in Proverbs chapter 12 verse 4? Thank you. Prudent lady. Okay, prudent in her words, prudent in her behavior, prudent in her management of resources. Prudent. Okay. And 19 verse 14. Yes, Proverbs 19. What quality did we see there? Virtuous, okay? Virtuous, godly person, isn't it? Yeah. 31 verse 10, Proverbs. Righteousness, okay? So, capable wife, virtuous wife, the Bible says, is more desirable than jewels, than rubies, all right? So, and then 1 Samuel 25, we saw what qualities did we see in Abigail. She was wise, understanding, humble, okay?
She's full of misery.
Yes. Yes. Okay. She protected her husband, she protected her family. Okay. Let's look at Proverbs 31, verse 30. And to address that that question about physical attraction. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. You know what fleeting means, right? Yeah. Beauty is temporary. And so these days you see all the advancements in science, beauty therapy. Just to try to push the aging process back. Surgery, yes.
And I have a contract to it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, my father told me that when he was looking for a job, one of the people he was looking for was actually looking for a human right. He did not have a fading.
Okay. Did he find?
Even now, one of the things that's happening is that you see, sometimes saying my wife is not going to
talk about this. No, but that's a different matter altogether because you know what's happening. Like when you look at the men who divorce their wives, more often than not, they marry girls 10, 20 years younger than them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, check, look around.
Okay, well,
men who divorce their wives end up marrying.
Yeah.
Yes, they don't marry somebody their age.
Younger.
There is usually somebody younger. Okay. What does that tell you?
Mm.
What does that tell you?
They are looking for physical.
Because after a while, the problem is in the heart. Yes. So I agree with you, but what does the Bible say?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's true. I'm not disputing what your father.
You are going to come to practical.
Yes. When we come to practical, what are we going to be practicing? Is it what my father said? Is it what my culture says, or what God says?
No, I'm not disputing what the scripture says. You know, in the scripture, we're talking about Rachel. That Rachel, I mean, Abigail says she's.
Yes, but apart from that, what else?
She has other qualities.
So, if you find them, if you find somebody who is pretty who has these other qualities, praise the Lord. But the point we are making, as we see here over and over, the Bible is saying a virgin, somebody from your own people, meaning a Christian, somebody of noble character, okay? Somebody, like we saw, Abigail, is not a, was it her beauty that saved her family?
No.
Yeah, it was her wisdom, her understanding, her humility. Okay? So, yes. Pretty girl, any man would like a pretty girl any day. But God is saying, in Proverbs 31, verse 30, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting. An accident can happen.
Yes.
An accident can happen. There's a young girl.
That is in Sosoliso.
Sosoliso. Okay, well, yeah. You know, an accident can happen and all that beauty disappears. What do you do?
Ah, it's true now.
Yeah, so if your primary reason for marrying this person was the physical attraction, you see the trouble you are in there, right? Uh-huh. So that's why it's better to listen to God. And then listen to anyone else. Okay? Excellent. So let's not forget character is very important. A Christian, so we agreed on what we mean by Christian, this,
yeah.
Not just that the person goes to church, not just that the person sings Christian songs, you know? Like the person is a Christian who has prayed. If you ask her, tell me when you became a Christian, and she won't tell you, oh, I was born a Christian. Well, I have been a Christian since from birth. You know there's nothing like that, right?
Yes.
So that she can tell you that on so-so-so day, so-so-so time, I prayed and invited Jesus into my life, right? Yes. Okay. And you can see that she's making efforts. Sorry.
Thank you, sir.
That she's making efforts to grow in her relationship with God and to obey Jesus. All right. So we come to the. So that is our shopping list, right? And like we said to the ladies, there are certain qualities we need to have to be able to attract that kind of girl, isn't it? Excellent. So let's look at how to become a man who will attract this godly woman. Genesis 39, verses 6 to 20. We know the story, right? Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Okay. Would you read verses 6 to 10? And you will read 11 to 14. And you will read 15 to the end. Yeah. Okay, Genesis 39, 6 to 20.
So he left the village gate, everything he had, and he led him charge. He did not concern himself with anything except with his head. Now, Joseph was well with his handsome, and after a while, the master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to beg your neck, for she refused. He finished that, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything he has. Everything he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except to be his wife. How then could I do such a great thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, even you, or even to be with her.
One day, he went into the house to attend to his duties. and none of his household servants swayed or resisted. She caught him by his coat and said, "What is there in this room?" But he left his clothes in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that she had left him in her hand and ran out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has brought to us to make pot of wood. He came in here to speak to me, but I didn't. I heard this creature. He left his clothes beside me and ran out of the house."
And it came to pass, when he had that lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with his and fled and brought him up. And she laid up his garment by her until his love came on. And she spake unto him according to this word, saying, "The evil servant which thou hast brought unto us came in and did not know." And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the word of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me, that his brother came back." And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoner was bound, and he was there in the prison.
Okay. Ladies, what do you like about Joseph?
Oh, man.
Self-control.
Discipline.
Do you like that in your husband?
Oh, yes. God, I love it.
Gentlemen, what do you think? It's difficult, as you can see with Joseph. Day after day, this woman was pestering him, tempting him. And day after day, he said no. If you are not self-controlled as a single person, you cannot be self-controlled as a married person.
When you are married, it's possible.
It's worse, right?
That one is
yes. Yeah. So if you're not becoming now what you need to help you as a married person, it will be tough.
Men.
Self-control is a critical quality that young men should have. Okay, wait, we'll ask the question now, okay? So we are looking at how to become that man that will attract the kind of girl we want to marry. You saw their response when I asked. Yeah. So it's important. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32. Okay. Two verses each. Yeah, Ephesians 5. Read 25 to 26. You read 27 and 28, 29 and 30. 31 and 32.
Husband, love the wife, just as Christ was the church, and he will say for her. Make her holy, refresh her by the washing of your
father. And present herself to yourself as the obedient church, without being a rule or any other blemish, because holy and blameless. In this way, husband ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as a Lord's church. For we are never of his body, of his flesh, and his bones.
Okay? 31 and 32. No,
actually, 30. Because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and the joint to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is a profound one, and I am saying that he refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, as taking like the wife, see that she respects her husband.
Okay, what qualities do you see there that will need to be the husband that God wants us to be?
Lovable.
But no, not lovable. Loving, okay? Yeah, it's different. Lovable and loving. Loving makes you lovable, okay? What else? Selflessness. That's a big word though. What does selflessness look like?
Putting the interest of your wife
ahead of your own, right? Okay, let's be a little practical now. Here you are, you have 20,000 naira, okay? To fix your car needs, say, two tires. And your wife, her gas cooker has been having issues. She's been telling you about the gas cooker for ages.
Our gas cooker.
Well, no, it's her gas cooker. Because just as your car is a tool for you, a vital tool, that's how the gas cooker is a vital tool for her. Yes. Okay. So, because you see, that's the reason I say her, because you don't see, if you see it as our, you treat it, most men don't see those things as relevant. Yeah. So, selfless. Do you go fix your car or fix the gas cooker?
Yeah, answer the question.
We fix the gas cooker.
No, let's have a
look.
Sir,
You need to fix your car, and she needs to go to the salon.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Sir, if you car is the major source of income to the family, there is another point.
No,
that
no, it's not the major source.
It's not
your own car.
The only thing is that it's
your personal car.
He drives it to work. That's the car he's the local.
And you take that to work too.
No, you don't take that.
No. Your car
is your car. Because
it's
car.
Your car is your car.
You